We've been looking at how to know God better. We looked at Moses' desire to know God in a greater way, to see His glory. We looked at Jeremiah's admonition that we would find God when we search for Him with all our heart. We looked at the psalmist's admonition in Psalm 139 that is the same as Jonah's, that he found that there is nowhere you can go and the presence of God is not already there. We looked at Paul's desire to know Christ and the power of the resurrection. He said in both Philippians 3 and Ephesians 3 that something of that nature. He said that we may know Him and comprehend the breadth and length and depth and height and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And today we see the apostle's prayer for those at Ephesus that he's hearing about while he's in prison. He's hearing of this church, and God leads him to write. And Ephesians 1 and verse 15 says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." Let's pray. Lord, as we look into Your Word, help us today. Speak to us by Your Spirit and open the Word of God to us in likeness that we, as Paul prayed, might have a knowledge of Your wisdom and revelation of the Word, to have a greater understanding of our standing with You. We pray for Your help and Your blessings on Your people in Jesus' name. First of all, he begins with an acknowledgement of what he's been hearing of these believers at Ephesus. It is always refreshing to hear good news. We live in a world where the news media doesn't very often publish good news stories. Most of the time, it is all the bad and evil and horrible stuff. I know people that won't even watch the news because it's depressing to them to see the world events of everything that is transpiring. In Proverbs 25 and verse 11, Scripture says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the souls of his masters." You know, if you've ever worked out in the yard and really worked hard, something like hauling hay or digging ditches, I mean really hard work outside, and a cool breeze blew, like snow in the time of harvest, the refreshing of that cooling off, hearing a good thing and sending a message that gets where it's supposed to go. Verse 25 says, "As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country." It is always good to hear good things. I'm thankful when we talk about this church, we can talk about good things. The world has learned of the church at Ephesus. Now, Bible Baptist in Fort Mill is not world famous. But we are on the internet, and there are people from around the world that actually listen to the sermons and the songs and things that we put on the internet. Those that we have license to put on, we put on, and we have people listen to that from all over. The world has learned of the church at Ephesus, and Paul is in prison, and he's getting word back about these believers and what they are doing. He's hearing of their faith and their love to all the saints and the work of the ministry that is going forward. And he addresses this congregation, and this congregation is a famous church. Paul was here in the book of Acts. He met with the elders as he was getting ready to go to be arrested. And he encouraged them and gave them admonition in the book of Acts. And then we find the book of Ephesians written unto them. Then we find Paul speaking to Timothy, a young minister who's been placed as a pastor there for a period of time. And then we see the book of Revelation. The church at Ephesus is one of the seven churches of Asia Minor that the book of Revelation was addressed to. In Revelation chapter 2 and the book of Ephesians chapter 1, there's a period of somewhere around 30 years has transpired. And what Paul is commending them for here, 30 years later, they are still a great church with many commendations from the Lord, but they're running into the danger of leaving their first love. The priority of love for the Lord and serving out of duty and becoming ritualistic in a way that they are not doing it simply out of their love for God. But at this time in this church, there's a great love for God. And there's a great love for the brethren, and they're demonstrating it by their daily life. And Paul is praising them for this, and he's letting them know that because of that, he is praying for them and remembering them to the Lord. These are people of faith. Faith means to be convinced of a truth. To be convinced that the Bible is God's Word. To be convinced that what the Bible says about Jesus Christ is a fact that we know in our heart, that we're convinced is true, is what faith is all about. Old Dr. Jack Hudson many years ago published a New Testament, just a paperback New Testament to use for the bus routes and things like that, and evangelism. And he wrote some things in the back of it, lessons. And he explained faith there. And he said that faith is belief to the point of action. In other words, it's not just saying, yeah, I believe that. It's showing that we believe it by how we respond in our daily life. And these people were responding in their daily conduct in a way that their faith was real. They weren't just saying, yeah, I'm a Christian. I mean, they were showing how they lived by their faith. The foundation of our relationship with God must be faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That must be our beginning point. They were convinced that Jesus is resurrected from the dead, that what the Bible says of Him, that He is Lord, and they have bowed their knee to Him and pledged their allegiance to Him as their Lord, and they demonstrated it by the way they loved the saints, the brethren. Saints is not a heroic term for just a few. The word saints means sanctified ones. It refers to every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been cleansed of your sins. The Spirit of God has taken up residence within you, and you are the saints of God. And the Ephesians loved one another, and they showed it by how they lived their daily lives. Before we were saved, we were dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2 and verse number 1. But God has given us life. He has paid the price for our sins. He's ransomed us from our sin. And He has set us free. And He purchased us with His own blood. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, we should glorify God in our body. Now, I like the expression that someone came up with years ago. I saw it on a poster, first of all. It's a simple thing, but it's profound in putting a truth in a nutshell. And it says, Christ paid a debt He did not owe because we had a debt we could not pay. And I like that expression. It reminds me that Christ paid the price for my sins, and I owed a debt because of sin that I could not pay. No matter if I'd give my life to be sacrificed, it would not pay the debt of sin. But Christ could pay the debt of sin. So He took on flesh to be the representative for us all and went to the cross and died there to pay our sin debt. Their faith was real, and Paul commended them and prayed for them. And he was encouraged in prison by what he was hearing about the spread of the gospel of Christ in the New Testament churches. Secondly, Paul had heard of their love for all the saints. They were following the two great commands that Jesus taught that we've looked at in this series of getting to know God in a greater way. From Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 40, it says that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind, and we're to love our neighbor as ourself. He said these are the two great commands, and all the teaching of the law and the prophets hinges on these two things, to love God and to love our neighbor as ourself. Their faith was real, and it was evidenced in their actions of their love one toward another in the church. Thank God for the people of Bible Baptist Church over these 36 years who've caught on to this same thing, to have faith in God and to love one another. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." I tease people all the time. I say, "Oh, you know so-and-so and you came here anyway." You see, we know each other, but we love each other anyway. We are stronger than human relations as a family, because God is our Father, and we've believed the Word of God, and Christ is our Savior. We have something in common that makes a bond between us. I don't care where you go in the world. David Tweetsie just got back from the Dominican Republic because his company won a trip with his company, and they went there as a vacation trip. If you're in the Dominican Republic and you go down to a McDonald's, everywhere's got McDonald's nowadays, you know. We went to Russia, they had a McDonald's. Meat didn't taste the same. But if you meet somebody who's a genuine Christian, immediately you got a bond. Immediately you've met somebody that believes like you believe, knows what you believe, that you have a commonality between you because of that. Thank God for the faith of the people of this church and for their love one for another. We know we are an imperfect people. The more we get to know about each other, the more we know we are an imperfect people. But we love one another. Our love for God makes us love the people of God. I love the people who love my God. I told you the other day about my friends out in Texas, the Coopers, and how I love the pastor out there because of the way he treated them. I love those folks, and I love him because he loved them. And I love you because you love the same God that I love. And we have a bond between us. There's a unity here because of that. We're brothers and sisters of the same faith, of the same Savior, the same Father. The Word of God is the same authority for us. That's the basis for our faith, is the Bible. It's the authority that we go by. Our governing authority that governs our daily conduct in life must be the Bible. It can't be the opinions of the wealthiest members. It can't be the dictatorial opinion of a pastor. It's got to be, what does the Bible say? And if we agree it's what the Bible says, then that is a governing thing about us that we can honor and appreciate and follow, even if it's hard for us or requires sacrifices on our part. Our conduct is based on the Word of God. Our source to know God in a greater way comes from our knowledge of the Word. In Ephesians 1, verse 20 through 23, the Bible speaks of God exalting Christ and sitting Him at His own right hand. And Christ is lifted up above every name. And we are beloved brethren who sit at the table of our Father, with our Savior sitting at the head with the Father. And He has provided what we need. We often need guidance and direction and correction. And just like our children do at our table at home, we do sitting at the table of God. He teaches us to share with one another, teaches us to humble ourselves and let others go before us. I'm not talking about in the line at the dinner today, but that's a good place to start too. That's a good place to teach. He rewards the faithful and commends us for our service for Him. He rebukes us if needed and disciplines us with chastening, not so He can punish us, but because He loves us to correct us. Hebrews chapter 12 says God chastens every son. If you're a child of God, then you get chastening when you do wrong. And that's so that we'll be corrected because He loves us. These believers had faith and love, and Paul prayed for them, and he gives thanks for them. And he prays that God would grant them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, verse 18 and 19. That they might be enlightened in their understanding. The Holy Spirit gives you enlightenment as you read the Word of God. The closer you are with God, the more you have understanding. The greater God can entrust you with His knowledge. The greater God can use you if you're obedient unto Him. Knowing the hope of His calling, knowing the will of God. Do you know just everybody out there doesn't know the will of God? And sometimes we struggle with knowing a specific thing, whether it is God's will or not. But as believers, we're the ones who can know the will of God. And we learn that through our study of the Word. Discernment comes with the more we know of the Word of God, the more discerning we become. We're aware of the reward that God has promised to us as believers. And we can experience the power of God in the exceeding greatness as God works in believers' lives with the power to transform sinners into the saints of God. Many of us fall into that category. There was a day when we weren't living for God and we were living for self and for sin. And God reached down in the pit and saved us and washed us and cleansed us and planted our feet on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And now everything good about us is by the grace of God. And we've seen the transforming power that has taken place within us. And we see that power is available for others to change as the grace of God enables. God's given us a completed revelation today, the Bible, the completed book, the final revelation from God. Now we need wisdom to rightly interpret it and apply it to our daily lives. Our daily conduct is dependent upon our knowledge of the Word and our consistency in the Word. And as we are obedient unto God, we can live a daily life that's pleasing and acceptable in His sight. When you love God, you want to do what's pleasing and acceptable to Him. And the more we see that what He's done for us, the more we should love Him and desire that. The God we serve, now catch this word, you know how you won't be tested on it. God is immutable. Simply means He is not subject to change. He is the same, Hebrews 13, 7 and 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He doesn't change, He's the same. Malachi 3, 5 through 7, God promised to Israel. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. If God was not consistent with His promises, He would have consumed Israel because of their sin. But He had promised them. And He was consistent to His promises because He doesn't change. Psalm 119, verse 89, His word is unchanged, forever settled in heaven. God's plans are unchanged. Psalm 33, 11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. God's knowledge is unchanging. Acts 15, 18, known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. The God we serve is unchanging. We can count on Him. We can know that He's consistent. We can know that He will honor His Word. We can know that His promises are sure. We can know that heaven is real. And our resurrection is dependent on the resurrection of Christ. And if we know in our heart by faith that Christ is alive from the dead, then we know in our heart by faith we're going to be to heaven one day with Him when He comes in the clouds to take us home to glory. So let us know Him and learn more about Him and serve Him with our lives because of what He's done for us. Together, as the family of God, let us love Him. Let us love one another. Let us exalt the Lord Jesus Christ as the Father hath taught us. If we love Him as we should, then we seek to serve Him and not ourselves. This world is a selfish world that we live in. Everybody's seeking to please themselves, doing what they do for themselves. As a Christian, we have a responsibility to find out what is God's desire for my life. What would God have me do? How would God have me handle this situation? And if we love Him, we can easily be faithful to Him and serve Him, because it's a pleasure and a blessing that God would use us in His ministry. Because of the people of Bible Baptist Church, this church exists. We're able to meet here today and learn about God's Word and demonstrate our love for one another and serve one another with our children and our classes and our ministries and all that we do. So let's be faithful to pray for one another as Paul prayed for those of Ephesus. And let's encourage one another. And the more we know about one another, we have to love each other anyway. Everybody's not easy to love. And I certainly wasn't easy to love, but God loved me anyway, even when I was a sinner. Christ died for me. So let's demonstrate our walk of faith and love so that others around us might see this church is real, that the Christianity is real here, that we're people that love one another and help one another and encourage one another. And it's by this that all men will know that we are the disciples of Christ. Let's stand together, please. We'll sing a verse of an invitational hymn. We invite you to come. If you don't know for sure you're saved, we'd be glad to take the Bible and counsel with you and help you know how to be saved today before you leave this place. If you want to come to the altar and pray, you're welcome to do so.